hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are waiting, so strong. When there is silence, hope gives a song. Out there in a world that seems so wrong, hope lives on. Out there in a world that seems so wrong, hope lives on.
And good evening, folks, to Hope is Alive. Live this April 6th, 2016. I like that song, Hope is Alive. We have to remember that. Hope is alive. We always have hope. And we'll see who we've got on the lines. And Jack, were you able to get on this line yet? Well, maybe. We've got Jack sitting in for Mr. Cox tonight, and I had to give him a different number while the song was playing to call in on. So hopefully that'll happen here. And I got to make sure I've got the right buttons pushed, and I think we do. And there, I think he is. Hey, good evening, Jack.
Hello, sir. How are you?
We are abundantly blessed and glad to have you on tonight. My apologies. I know you had called in before, but we have a couple different call-in numbers, and
okay.
And I know we've got Jim calling in a little bit, and he'll be calling in on the line you had called in first. But this number sure still
okay,
works.
Okay, super. Yeah, super.
So appreciate you coming on, and I understand that. Jim is calling in talking about the dangers of yoga.
Yes, he will be calling in about 10 minutes, and he has had a lot of experience with working with people that's been involved with yoga, and so he has a good background and a good handle on the knowledge of that, so I thought that would be a really good topic to cover.
Yes.
Because a lot of people out there are just unaware of the dangers of yoga.
Absolutely, they are. And it is growing. We're just in little old Laramie, Wyoming, out here. There must be three or four little yoga places in town. And there's times you drive by them, and the parking lots are overflowing with vehicles. I know there's a Christian historian and author, Richard Kelly Hoskins, and he has written of the dangers of yoga and tried to warn people in the past that it's from the Eastern religions. It is not something for Christians to be doing. That it is it is the worship of false gods. But the people don't know that today. So many of them, there's probably some that do, but I think there's many so-called Christians out there that just don't know how dangerous it can be.
Well, we find it a lot of times in the churches, and a lot of times they will call it Christian yoga, which there's no such thing,
no.
You know. But when we find that, they say, well, we're just stretching, and I always tell them, well, why don't you just call it the Holy Ghost stretching instead of trying to stretch to some Eastern deities, which
right.
will get you in bondage. And but I think it's a learning curve, and I think a lot of people are just destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, and they haven't been taught on the subject very much.
Right. Hey, we find that so much in just in Christians. I was talking with my friend John here at the ministry, and he brought, I think it was last week, he does a Wednesday morning prayer breakfast down in Colorado with some men, and he shared with us last week that you know, the men there, Christians, so-called Christians, didn't understand the term remnant from the Bible, didn't understand the term Baal, as in Baal God, Baal worship, as it being a false god, a false deity. And he said, a couple of them said, well, that's just another name for our God, isn't it? And, you know, no, it's not. Not at all. There's a lot out there that's good, but there's certainly a lot out there that's bad. And as a Christian, we are to read the Word. It's how we have fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, what a privilege today that we have the written Word. You know, just you go back just a couple generations, and the people did not have that. And so, but if the I think, where is it in Hosea that the Word tells us, he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we try to get some good knowledge to the people, for sure.
Well, you know, the Word also says, it says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
So, it's up on us. And we know that, you know, this is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we proclaim, the truth of God's Word, then we know that we have the Holy Spirit backing us up with revelation knowledge.
Yes.
So we're just kind of in a new age in the deliverance ministry, where the church is getting its eyes opened to the things of the dark side. And so we're just, you know, continuing on. When one of the questions we asked, you know, when we're doing our interview before we do deliverance is, have you been involved with yoga? And a lot of times people are surprised that we would ask that question.
Yeah.
So after we explain it to them for a while, then they begin to understand it. And if they've come, you know, desperate for deliverance, they have no issue with confessing the fact that they have been involved in yoga, and that they may have the spirit of Kundalini, which is an open door, which comes in through the open door of yoga. So we're just believing a lot of people get set free from that.
Well, praise
the Lord.
They'll
get a good understanding on this night. So
well,
we think the Lord is in this, and we believe He will set the people free as they comply with His will.
Amen. Amen. And I guess we have Chris on the line as well. Good evening, Chris.
Well, hello there.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you joined us. Forgive us for forgive me for not bringing you on earlier. When I just didn't hear anybody on, I made a wrong assumption. So please forgive me. But I'm glad you're here.
Oh, that's okay. It was funny that you brought up Hosea, because right before we went on the air, I looked up, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And that word because thou hast rejected knowledge, means to spurn, to disappear, to abhor, cast away, despise, disdain, loathe, melt away, or refuse. You know, it's a big word, reject. And how many people have rejected the knowledge? And it goes on to speak about seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. And that word law means a precept or statute, especially from the Decalogue or the Pentateuch. It's the law of God. And how many of these churches out there, like Jack mentioned, have forgotten the law of God and will just bring anything into their basement or fellowship hall? You know, here in North Carolina, we have churches meeting to reject the governor's law that will keep the homosexuals out of taking any restroom that they want to go into.
Yeah. It's insanity, isn't it? It's insanity. But it's that, I think that Hosea fits. It sure does. It fits. But just as they're destroyed for a lack of knowledge, when they repent and return to Him, it's a step in the right direction to get back into that kingdom way of thinking. And well, guys, I think your caller is calling in. Let me bring him on here. I think so. It's just the line ringing. Hey, good evening, caller.
Hey, how are you? This is Jim.
Hey, good evening, Jim. Chris, I'll turn it over to you, brother.
Got it. Thank you, Richard. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Howdy, Chris. Good to talk with you again. I'm well.
Good.
Doing well.
Jack here, taking.
Hey, Jim. Glad you could call in, buddy.
Hello, Jack.
Jack, I'll go ahead and let you take over and talk about the yoga issue that you were talking about with Richard and just continue, and let's hear Jack's experience with it.
Well, Jim, I know that you've had a lot of experience with ministering to people that have been involved in yoga, and that's why we appreciated you calling tonight to come on to discuss it with us. And I'll just give you the floor and, you know, give you a few minutes here just to explain what you know about yoga and the pitfalls of yoga and how we can be set free from the bondage of yoga. So just, you've got the floor.
Well, you know, I was a Christian for years before I knew that yoga was not a good thing. My wife and I were in Florida years ago, and we took a yoga class. And when we sat down in the class, it was a large room, and they were waiting on some more people to come in, and I noticed there was some strange music playing, and I thought, well, that's strange. And then I noticed that the room was dark, and it was real sunny outside, but they had the drapes drawn, and I thought, well, that's strange. And then in front of us, there were two grotesque faces hanging on the wall looking out at us, and I thought, well... And then there were seven candles burning on the wall. And when the instructor came in, she sat down and faced us and crossed her legs, and she put her the heels of her hands on her knees, and she touched her forefinger and thumb and said, "Now, if you'll do this, this will complete your spirituality." And of course, we didn't do that. We thought our spirituality was complete, but after the class, my wife, who was never sick, had a headache for 2 weeks, night and day. And finally, we were living temporarily down there, and finally in Florida. And finally, we had communion in our apartment, and the Lord delivered her from the headache. And after that, my lower back started hurting. We'd go to the beach and walk, and my back would hurt, and I'd never had any back pain at all. And I couldn't walk fast enough to keep up with my wife. And the Lord revealed to me that that was a direct relationship to the yoga class. And so one morning we went back to the apartment we were living in, and I told my wife to go ahead and go in, and I would walk around the apartment. And as I started walking, I said, "I renounce yoga in Jesus' name. I renounce yoga in Jesus' name." And by the time I got around the parking lot there, my back had quit hurting, and it hasn't hurt since. And that's when the Lord revealed to me that yoga was a negative for people, particularly for Christians. And so I started studying yoga and realized that It's out of Hinduism. It's thousands of years old. The positions in yoga are designed to attract evil spirits in. The yoga masters teach that you have seven energy centers in your spine and a serpent spirit at the bottom of your spine called the spirit of Kundalini. And their job is to get this energy up your spine. And when it reaches, the energy reaches the top of one's head, they say that the person has become enlightened and they will be introduced to the creator of the universe, whom they say is Brahman. So really it's a false religion. But I found one thing over the years, that Christians will fight you for two things. They'll fight you for yoga and they'll fight you for Halloween. And so we just, in fact, there was a lady that said, well, what about holy yoga? And we said, well, what's that? She said, well, that's where we pray when we exercise yoga. And I said, well, how does that differ from holy adultery? She said, what's that? I said, well, that's when people pray and commit adultery at the same time. I mean, it just makes as much sense. So it's all demonic, and it's at the head of yoga is Satan himself, and I wouldn't touch yoga with a 10-foot pole. It's all demonic. And Christians will say, well, we have what we call in our church Christian yoga. And I say, well, you may as well just call it Christian demon worship, because that's what it is. You know, if it's stretching, take the name yoga out and just stretch. But the positions, and if you buy a book on how to set up a yoga studio in your home, the first thing the book will tell you is to build an altar, to put an altar in the room, and light candles, and put pictures on the altar, etc., etc., etc. It's a place of worship. So yoga is no place for Christians.
I'm just looking.
That's sort of been my experience, Jack, and I just know that Christians, I tell you, a great place for resource on yoga is to Google the question, is yoga demonic? And you'll get all sorts of information on it there, because it's the website just filled with it. So if someone's interested in learning more about it, that's a great place to go. Is yoga demonic on Google?
I just did that, guys, and I says the reason I started this article with a picture of a yoke is that what the word yoga means is yoke.
Right.
He's got a picture of a yoke there.
Right.
And there are several articles, and there's several instructors on here that have come out of yoga speaking about how it's satanic and worshiping other gods.
Yeah. Christians are surprised when they take that website and that question Google and see all the information on it. We had a girl in a class that she was angry because we came against yoga. And then the next week when she came back, she had done some research and she was amazed. So people who participate in yoga have all sorts of problems, but they don't attribute it to yoga. Just like my back pain and my wife's headache. You know, that one class. And that's when the Lord revealed to me that yoga was demonic, is when I renounced yoga and renounced yoga and renounced yoga, and my back quit hurting. So after that, I was directed, really, to buy a book by Derek Prince, They Shall Expel Demons, and he talks about yoga in that book, which is a great resource.
You know, that book, Thou Shalt Expel Demons, I kind of held off on it for a long time because I'd read other books about demons, and they were just borderline nonsense. But when I read that book by Derek Prince, he was straight down the biblical line, and yeah. I was very impressed with it. And that's what really set me on the path that I'm on. And I think that's what really led me to when I saw Deliverance Ministries, how I knew that it was in line, because it matched up with what was in that book, which was in line with the Word of God.
Yeah, that's a great resource. Have you read that book, Jack?
I have read that book. I've worn that book out over the last 10 years, 9 or 10 years, and it's been one of the mainstays for me as far as study and deliverance, along with Everett Cox's material down Deliverance Ministry. And it is a great book. I was going to speak a little bit on back a few years ago, Jim was teaching on yoga, and I invited a person to go with us down to Deliverance Ministry to hear Jim teach on yoga, which was our habit every Monday night at 5:30. And I told this individual, usually in the training room, we won't have any manifestations. And so they agreed to go. And so as we were sitting there in the training room, and Jim was teaching on yoga, a lady sitting right next to my wife began to manifest. And she began to hiss like a snake, which we know is the spirit of yoga, the spirit of Kundalini. And so that spirit came up and began to hiss, and we all kind of got a little bit of a kick out of it because the individual that was with me was my wife. that spirit did manifest, and we have seen that firsthand over the years, that yoga is really demonic. The head of it is Satan, and it's not anything to be played with because it can be deadly for the Christian. So we don't want any, we don't want anything to do with that. And if anyone's involved in that in the audience and wants to get rid of that and doesn't want it anymore, all they have to do is renounce and repent of all involvement with yoga and command the spirit of Kundalini to come out. It'll come out.
Amen.
So that's a way they can get delivered from that. And then no longer host it. Don't take don't be involved in it. Don't go around it. If you're going to stretch, just call it Holy Ghost stretching. You know, just do your exercise like a normal person and not try to get it into stretching to Eastern deities.
Well, this would be a good point to mention deliveranceusa.com, because there's a lot of information on that website. There's a lot of prayers and repentful prayers that you can read, anything from Masons to yoga. And there's a lot of videos that these people can watch about closing those doors that open them up, that open up sin in their life, that gives Satan permission or the demons permission to act on their life. And that's deliveranceusa.com. And they can also get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, either at that website or they can order it through Scriptures for America.
Super. That's super. You know, that's important, too. You know, when you talk about the open doors, when we talk about those, you know, we're talking about sexual sins outside of marriage, or abuse, abortions, unresolved death, witchcraft, Freemasonry, secret societies. All of those things are open doors. So we need to learn what opens the door, find out the root cause, and close the doors. And then the enemy can be dealt with after that.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was wanting to ask you gentlemen about something. It seems like every Wednesday, Satan has a particular assignment against me and my household. Things just start deteriorating and falling apart. And I was praying about it this morning, and I was praying against the assignments. We had like five or six things just in a row, like dominoes, that just happened out of the ordinary that just caused havoc in the household. And so I was praying against and breaking the assignments, and then I realized something, and I wanted to run this by you. Satan will issue these assignments against you to try to get you to sin or step out from under your covering in order that they have a door open so that they can operate in your life freely. Does that fit with what your understanding of is?
Well, yeah, that is exactly right. And a lot of times things will just go sideways. By the time we get ready to go down to Deliverance Ministry on Monday night, things will start going sideways. This will happen and that will happen. But we have a teaching, and Jim has taught this teaching more than me. And one of the teachings there is that if this is the enemy causing this, we command it to stop in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So we have authority to command the enemy. If this is the enemy causing this, I command it to stop. Now, if it's coming through an individual, and it's something that's coming directly against us as an attack, we can also make the declaration and command, is I forbid the enemy to operate through John Doe against me today in Jesus' name. So if it's the enemy causing it, we have authority. If it's just the person, then we have to deal with the person. But if it's the enemy, we definitely have authority to shut him down.
We know it's pondering that in the assignments, and I think kind of what happened to Job was there was an assignment against him. And in Job 2:10 it says, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And then it said, "In all this did not Job sin with his lips." So Job committed no sin to open up any doors to allow Satan to operate against him.
Well, he did have one thing that he fought against, and that was the spirit of fear. And one of the things he fought against with spirit of fear was his family. He was always afraid his family was going to miss the mark. And he was continually offering sacrifices for his family to try to cover them in their foolishness and in their sin. But Job's life, you know, the Bible says was good, no problem with him. But he had a family that that was always causing him issues. And so he did a lot of sacrificing for them.
Good. The fear that they had cursed God in their hearts.
Yeah, yep. And he feared that. So, you know, Job is a book that's very interesting, and I've studied it a lot of years, and can't claim to understand all of it. But I do know the Lord has given us authority in our lives over the enemy that comes against us. And if it's coming through other people or circumstances, I believe we have the power to shut it down. Of course, in all this, we have to be walking in love for that to work.
I like Matthew 11:28, where it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Yeah, that's good. That is
it just
good.
Seems like our people are so heavy laden anymore. Anywhere that you go, there's not that joy. I had someone mention not too long ago that they don't hear people whistle anymore as they walk down the street.
Well, that's true. You know, the Word says the joy of the Lord's our strength. And so when we lose our joy, you know, the Lord says that we'll become weak, you know. So we got to keep our joy strong. And that, you know, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So, you know, love, joy, peace. So that goes together with that.
Well, let me ask you this while we've got you, you know, following up on yoga. Either of you gentlemen have experience with the martial arts?
Jim, you can take that one.
You know, I've got some experience with that, and I know that most deliverance ministers condemn martial arts and don't have anything good to say about that. And I haven't seen anything in martial arts personally that is a big negative. I know that maybe in the Orient, where it originates from, there may be things there, and there may be some things here that I just haven't seen, but I haven't seen anything personally that's demonic. They talk about meditation, martial arts. I haven't seen that. I don't really have that much information on it.
Well, one of
but I do know that most deliverance ministers really come against martial arts. And it's because of where martial arts originates, the Orient.
Well, some of the martial arts that I had seen, because I was in it for years, and one of the things I repented of was we had what we called temple exercises. And, you know, it was just like the yoga, you know, the way you move and the stretch and strengthen yourself, but instead of yoga positions, it was called temple exercises that the Hindu priest or the Kung Fu priest would do. So I think that's where it'll come across, where it kind of crosses the same path as yoga.
Did they call it a priest? Did they call him a priest?
Yes, some of the martial arts were originated with priests.
Okay, all right.
But it depends on what branch it is.
Well, I know Derek Prince comes against martial arts, and most of the deliverance ministers that I've read after do the same. And so, but I just haven't had anything personally, any personal experience as far as the negative part of that. You know, I find one thing in dealing with people day after day is, and we teach this at Deliverance Ministries, that if the enemy is involved in a situation or person's life, prayer will not work. Christians pray too much and command too little. And when Christians learn to command and take authority, they have all the backing that heaven has, because Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What he's also saying there is, if you don't bind anything, I'm not going to bind anything. See, we have a part to play, and we have to initiate. Jesus says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But if you don't loose anything, I'm not going to loose anything either. See, most Christians, when a tragedy happens or when there's a need, they pray. There's a time to pray and there's a time to command. If the enemy's involved, it's time to command, because it's a waste of time to pray over something about the enemy. Because Jesus has given us all authority and all power over all of the power of the enemy. So I find that this is really helpful to Christians when they find this out, that they do have that power to command and to direct and to forbid and use it and see it working for them. And they're really empowered when they get that tool. So we teach that at Deliverance Ministries, and it's really a good tool for people to have, because generally, all Christians know to do is pray. Praying's good, but when the enemy's involved, it's time to command and to forbid.
Way too many of the churches out there are not even taught that there is an enemy.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That is
well,
true. You know, the final battle of the ages has already begun. And we don't have to join the army. We've been drafted. And if we refuse to acknowledge the enemy, that gives him the right to fly under the radar and wreak havoc in our lives. And we don't even know it's him. And he wreaks havoc through mental problems, marital problems, physical problems, financial problems, et cetera, et cetera. And the people that don't even know there's an enemy don't know that's him. So they certainly couldn't command anything there. But that's real unfortunate that they don't know they have an enemy, because there's three New Testament writers that say that teach spiritual Christians you have an enemy. Peter over said that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. He's talking to spiritual Christians. And then James in James 4:7 says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He's talking to spiritual Christians. And of course, we know there in Ephesians 6, where Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's three New Testament writers that teach spirit-filled Christians we have an enemy. Plus, Jesus says the thief comes only to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that has steal, kill, and destroy as a signature is the enemy.
Well, let me get your counsel on something while we're talking along these lines. They are setting up in Times Square in New York City and in London the arches from a Baal temple. And from what I've read, they plan to do hundreds or maybe even 1,000 around the world to set up these arches that were the entranceways to Baal temples. And my thinking is that they're opening up conduits. And you know, we as a people, how do we come together and pray to block those conduits or to depower them or to close off the doors so that the purpose for which, and I think it's the United Nations that's behind it, the purpose in which they're doing it does not manifest?
Jack, why don't you take that?
Well, first thing, we use the same principle of Luke 10:19. It says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, we have to have authority in those lines to do that. And at one time, I was in charge of a state capitol building as an administrator of the facility. And on the corner of the state capitol was a Mason's plaque where it was dedicated to the Masons back in the day, back in the early 1900s. Because I was the facility manager of that, then I felt like I had authority to break the curse of the Masons off the Capitol. And that's what I did. So there's lines of authority that we have that we can break the power of the enemy off of those type of things. And so I think through intercessory prayer and just pulling down the strongholds and coming against those principalities and powers, but we have to find our line of authority to be able to do that.
Do you think some people are giving a line of authority from the Lord that someone else might not have? You know, maybe it's their call to pray against or to go and anoint and to, you know, discerning of the Spirit saying, I want you to go here and do that. You know, Gideon was told to go tear down the altar.
Yeah, I do believe the Lord has assigned intercessors that can and has that authority to go do that. I believe it has to be a direct line of authority. Anybody can pray against it, but I think the Lord has people set aside that that's their ministry doing that. I don't necessarily have the minister of an intercessor. I have the, you know, my ministry is deliverance ministry with people, most of it one-on-one or with groups. But I believe there are people that the Lord has set aside as intercessors that can take that authority. So that's the, I think that's the answer for that is to, you know, for people in New York City, I know there's a lot of demonic activity, and so they have a lot of demonic activity there. And so, but I know the Lord has people in every place for to intercede also.
Well, I want to thank you for being on. Jim, we've got our other caller that's calling in.
Okay.
Anything you want to add before
thank you,
we let
sir.
You go? Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Jim. Richard, you got our other caller there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, good evening. Eric. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How you doing?
Hi, Derek. Glad you could call in, buddy.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
What was your topic you wanted to speak on this evening, Derek?
About deliverance and when I came to the Lord and the benefit of understanding deliverance and, you know, the whole purpose that it plays in the Christian life and why it's a benefit and something that needs to be experienced by a lot of Christians these days, but they don't really have an understanding of it and how it applies even to the life of a Christian.
Why don't you tell us about your experience of your deliverance that you had during your ministry?
All right. I come into the topic of Christians needing deliverance first by reading a book written by Frank Hammond entitled Pigs in the Parlor. When I read that book, he explained in detail, you know, how a Christian can need deliverance. See, a lot of times, us as Christians, we read the Bible and we see there was a man possessed with a devil, and that's actually a translation that was, you know, not as good of a translation as it could have been, but it's really talking about being demonized, meaning certain areas of your life may be under the influence of demonic spirits and governed by strongholds. And so I read the book and I got a clear understanding on it. And then I found out about deliverance ministries in Oklahoma City through a friend. And after finding out about deliverance ministries through a friend, I went and I went through the door closing prayer that they have me pray. And then I had deliverance ministered to me on two different occasions, two different sessions I went to. I received deliverance. And for an example, one place of deliverance that a lot of people need these days, especially men, is the area of lust. And that was one of the areas where I had deliverance ministered to me. You know, other areas of my life I was very free in and didn't have any issues. But then lust was an area that I struggled with for a long time. And after going through deliverance and learning how to maintain my deliverance, I've seen the benefits of deliverance. And it's a blessing, you know, because anytime you got an area that you was bound in and you get free in that area, it just raises your whole walk up, the confidence that you have in Jesus Christ. You've experienced greater liberty in Christ, and it makes you want to go forward and help others get free also. So that's pretty much how I came into the whole topic of deliverance.
So you read The Pigs in the Parlor by Frank Hammond and just got it at the bookstore and began to bend to read, and the Lord opened your eyes to deliverance?
Yes, sir.
You was talking about you were having a lot of problems with lust. You know, that falls under the category, you know, spirits runs in families. And that falls under the category of perversion, you know, lust, fantasy, homosexuality, you know, all of that stuff falls under that. And a lot of that is started by pornography. We have a lot of internet pornography. I would say people that I've sat down with over the last 9 or 10 years, that nearly all the men and probably 60% of the women have problems with pornography. And that's a big door opener for lust to come in.
Yeah, it is. And let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Like you said, that's a common one, and that's where it all started with me. I know it was generational, but at the same time, you know, I was introduced to pornography at the age of 8 and had a battle with it for a long time up until, you know, maybe couple years ago, really started to experience victory over it and then get deliverance and got to a place of, you know, maintaining that deliverance. But one of the biggest avenues the enemy is using these days, because, you know, pornography, the whole addiction to pornography can start out with something as small as a modern day sitcom TV show where a woman's breast is exposed a little too much, tight clothes are on, and the person starts to watch that, and then the mind wants to wander into deeper levels of perversion, which ultimately leads into full-fledged pornography. And that's one thing that us as Christians have to be aware of, is that the enemy, he just starts out with a crack, and before you know it, he's got a whole gapping, you know, foot-wide entry point. So that's just the place that we have to be careful. And we have to learn how to substitute, you know, what the enemy sowed into us with the things of God. That's why, you know, when we receive deliverance, it's very important for us to keep our eyes and our mind focused on the Word of God, our ears consumed in praise and worship music, sound teaching, sound doctrine, and just blessing the Lord, because the enemy's always looking for a way in, and he starts a lot of times with small stuff.
Well, I think that's where the teaching that Jack and Jim have about perish the thought comes in.
Yeah.
Jack, you want to speak to that for just a second?
Well, you know what? One of the things that we've learned to do is, you know, we make an agreement with the Father in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. So we make an agreement with the Father in Jesus' name that when we say perish the thought, we mean by his name and by his blood and his resurrection, that thought will have to be under authority to the name of Jesus, and it'll leave. So from that point on, when we have those thoughts, we can just be sitting around the dinner table, we can be sitting in the conference room, we can be at work, we can be anywhere, driving down the road, and these thoughts, you know, thoughts is the enemy's way of, you know, where it talks about the shield of faith, putting out all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we can say, perish the thought. And those thoughts will have to go. One young man said, well, I was hooked on pornography, and those thoughtful, lustful thoughts was coming at me continually. And he said, the first day after I left deliverance ministry, it was maybe 150 times I had to say, perish the thought. But you know, the thoughts of the wicked are the wicked, are the weakest when we first hear them. So if we can just remember to make that agreement with the Lord and say, perish the thought, then we can overcome those lustful thoughts, because we have to use our words. We have to use our words. You know, words is the thing that the enemy will respect. And when we cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Another thing we can do with those thoughts, a lot of times when we're casting out an evil spirit, if we can get its name. I was dealing with a lady the other day, and she was manifesting at church, and the individual came back and got me because they knew I was in deliverance ministry, and that I did deliverance. And I found the young lady sitting out in the foyer in a chair, and she was manifesting, and the spirit was up, and I said, what's your name? And it said, Jezebel. And I said, what right do you have to be there, Jezebel? And Jezebel answered me right back and said, she wants me. Well, I had the young lady come back up. A lot of times when the spirit's up, the person is down. I had the young lady come back up, and I said, well, Jezebel says that you want her. And she says, I don't want her anymore. And so I commanded Jezebel to come out, because she no longer had a right to be there. The right to be there was because the lady wanted her. That's the same way we can look at thoughts in a way. If a lustful thought comes, we can say, perish the thought, and that thought will have to go. But sometimes if we get the name of the thought, we can say, lustful thought, go in the name of Jesus, and it becomes really powerful also, because we have a name attached to the thought.
Well,
also, I just want to say real quick, I can attest to the perish the thought practice, because Jim was he was my first session of deliverance, and he taught me that, and I used it, and it works. And like you say, after a while, you don't have to use it as much, but of course, at times, the enemy will try to bring back thoughts, and with me understanding that if I don't entertain the thought, then I'll be okay, I still use perish the thought. In times that I need to, and it's become first nature. So I really hadn't even realized that I still use it until y'all mentioned it. But it actually becomes first nature. It becomes a natural weapon of warfare, and it is beneficial. So I just wanted to attest to the fact that that does work.
Well, Derek,
yeah,
you
know, Derek, we've never had anyone tell us that that hasn't worked. I got a missionary friend of mine from Mozambique, and he began to use that principle of perish the thought, and he says his mind has never been so clean in all his life.
Amen.
Man, I can say the same thing.
That's right. You know, James 4:7 tells us, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so when you say that very thing, perish the thought. My last name is Parrish, different spelling, P-A, okay? But, and I use banish the thought. Banish the thought.
Yeah.
Be gone. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can, and I like what was said earlier, you can command him. Devil, the word says, I am resisting you, and you must flee.
Amen.
And we can command him. It's right there in the word.
Yeah.
Derek, I'd like to hear you. Derek, I'd like to hear you testify about how your walk with the Lord has gotten stronger since you've been delivered, and how it set you more at liberty to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. Knowing that one thing I learned also and really put into practice is that along with deliverance, we must keep the flesh crucified. We must keep the flesh under. You know, Paul talks about buffeting his body after preaching the gospel, lest he become a castaway. And, you know, the best way to do that is to stay in a realm of praise and worship, making sure you spend your daily Bible meditation time, having fruitful conversations, having a daily prayer life, and also at times and in seasons in your life, making sure you implement some fasting here and there. And ever since I've really come into the deliverance side of Christianity and really understanding and being able to engage in warfare, it has made a tremendous difference in my life, and I've been able to help other people get free. I've cast demons out of other people, and my whole intercession life for others and spiritual warfare for people is at a whole another level. You know, being able to bind unclean spirits in people through prayer until the time of them coming to repentance, and being able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get free. Just the whole adventure of the Christian life becomes it goes to a whole different level once you've experienced deliverance and you've maintained your deliverance and you're growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation becomes not just a theoretical or a one-time verbal confession type of thing, but it becomes a true and living adventure to where now not only do you know the enemy's real, but you're a threat against the enemy, and you get to see the power of Jesus Christ flow through you and have authority over the enemy. I mean, this is when Christianity really comes alive. When you get to dealing with the things that hinder your walk and hinder your progression in Christ, and you remove those barriers, get those unclean spirits cast out, if you're determined to walk in that freedom and maintain that freedom, Christianity becomes a wonderful adventure, and you just look forward to meeting the Lord face to face and reaping the rewards of being a laborer in the harvest.
Amen. Well, it sounds to me that as you have been set free, that you've recognized that the Lord Jesus has a call upon your life.
Yes, yes. Most definitely. There's some things he's spoken to me about personally that I can't mention yet, but I will say when you talk about a calling on your life, you really find out more in depth. Even if you may know, some of what you called to do, but you find out more in depth once you've got those unclean spirits out of the way, because their whole plan and purpose is to hinder the will of God for your life. So with those out of the way, you're able to hear more clearly and able to be more successful in your walking and your calling. And you have a lot of people who don't know their calling because unclean spirits are binding them from within, and the spiritual ears have been cut off as far as being able to hear and receive the revelation of God in order to know what they're called to do. Of course, it takes your witnessing to a whole another level also, because you have people who you'll deal with, especially in the time that we live in now. A lot of people that you'll deal with will have the problem of lust and pornography and things of that nature. And if the enemy can waver your faith in that area, you know, you won't be as effective. Because I know one thing, even after being delivered from things like spirits of lust, the enemy being an accuser, he'll try to accuse you. But when you know your hands are clean from that, and by the grace of God, you're staying free from that, you have more effectiveness over those unclean spirits as you engage them to set other people free.
Well, amen. Well, with that, Derek, we're going to let you go unless Jack's got something to finish up. Anything you want to say before we say goodnight to you?
Well, I'm just going to say, Derek, you know, one of the main things that we have to watch as Christians and as deliverance ministers to make sure that the unforgiveness is really kept out of our life. Because, you know, unforgiveness is a deal breaker if we get involved in that. And I know
yes,
he went through that and was broke soul ties and did all of that. And so I tell people, you know, if I could only take one thing to a desert island somewhere where I had to minister deliverance, it would be teaching on people how to forgive and how to stay free from bitterness.
Amen.
So you walk, blessings of the Lord. We look forward to seeing you again.
I hope to meet you one day, Derek. Thank you very much. You've been a blessing tonight. Right.
Yes, thank you, Derek. Good to have you.
Oh, yeah. God bless y'all, and good night.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
I feel led to read the Mark 9:38. It says, John said unto him, Teacher, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbid him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name, and be able quickly to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. For whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink, because ye are Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
Yeah, that's good. That is good. Yeah, though, you know, the thing that I've learned over in the last 9 or 10 years, and I'm an older man, I'm 67 years old, so I've been following the Lord 40 plus years. But in deliverance ministry, short of 10 years. And the one thing I have learned, that the Lord calls people to do different things, and they have different callings and abilities and gifts from the Lord. And, you know, we need to work in our gifts, callings, and abilities, and let other people fulfill the call that the Lord has given to them, and refrain from criticizing when they don't have the same call that we have.
Amen.
I remember when I was over in Hawaii and I was snorkeling in one of the bays there, and I could look across the water and it was quite calm. But when I put my snorkel on, I looked under the water and I saw all of these little creatures under there, which couldn't be detected unless you were looking under the water. And so that's kind of the way it is when you come into the aspect of knowing that there is a real devil and that people really need deliverance from him. We recognize that not everyone sees what we see, and so we have to have grace to let them come along as the Lord leads them.
Amen. Well, with that, we're going to say goodnight. You've been a blessing. Again, it's deliveranceusa.com. You can get the book from the ministry or from the website, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It'd be a blessing to you. Thank everyone for listening, and come back next week, because hope is alive.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a deep. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take out.